skin infections overall, you know, lead to probably 800,000 admissions per year, probably double that in terms of ER visits. Interestingly, among other infections, compared to other infections that we see, the burden tends to be in younger patients. And the reason that becomes relevant is that, you know, patients who are younger, as opposed to the older pneumonia patients and other kinds of infections we see, we have interruptions of daily lives, productivity, childcare issues. There's all sorts of snowballing effects that occur when a patient has a soft tissue infection and requires a need to go to a hospital or get admitted to a hospital for several days. Unlike, for example, some of our other patient types, which are, you know, who are a little older and don't have those sort of multitasking types of lives in most instances that the younger patients have. So I think that's something that we tend to not appreciate unless we think about it a little bit. Speaking to the patient that would be a good candidate to treat as an outpatient in the community versus an inpatient one, I think you have to look at illness severity and you have to look at underlying comorbidity, meaning the immune status of the patient. If the patient obviously is not that sick and or their comorbidities are either they don't have comorbidities or they're controlled, meaning, for example, a diabetic whose diabetes is very well controlled, those patients would be good candidates for outpatient treatment. Of course, someone who is immunocompromised and sicker, you'd want to bring in. There's a nice classification system by ERON. It's actually 20 years old now. Classifies people into, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 being the very severe case that gets admitted frequently to the ICU. And then class 1, which is the patient who's going to go out on sort of an oral generic because it's a very minor issue. But then you have this sort of battleground of the, you know, 2s and the 3s where the comorbidities and the illness severity kind of are tug of war with each other. And so that's where the battleground is on where we can perhaps deploy some of our newer drugs to keep some patients out of the hospital as opposed to bringing them into the hospital and get IV antibiotics. For outpatients, treatment of community-acquired bacterial skin infections, there are many, many options. I mean, there's generics, you know, from cefalexin, gerothermin sulfa, clindamycin, the old tetracycline, like doxycycline, minocycline, those are oral. You know, you have linezolid. There's dalbavancin or rituvancin. And then for the inpatient setting, patients are usually going to be getting vancomycin or daptomycin or ciftaroline. Frequently, patients will come in and get, you know, IV and then switch to oral therapy for de-escalation. So there's a lot of options, and which ones you decide to use are a function of, one, you know, is the infection purulent, meaning it's with an abscess there, meaning it's more likely to be Staph aureus, or if it's going to be non-purulent, which is most commonly streptococci, beta-hemolytic streptococci like group A strep, group B strep, and other beta-hemolytic streptococci. When you start mounting immunocompromised patients in the picture, diabetics, for example, then you start having to consider gram-negatives, and so and even perhaps even anaerobes, depending on the location of the wound. So depending on the agents you choose there, are going to have to be a little bit more broad spectrum, or you're going to have to require multiple drugs to cover all those. What do the single dose agents have to offer compared to standards of care is efficiency. When you're looking at to deploy these drugs, dalbavancin, oritavancin, and there's Orbactiv and Comirsa versions of oritavancin. Those are usually used in patients who you're on the verge of giving them intravenous antibiotics, but you want to keep them out of the hospital for whatever reason. Obviously, it's better to keep the patient out of the hospital if you can. These are agents are been shown. For example, dalbavancin has been compared to 7 to 10 days of vanco / linezolid comparator. So giving someone dalbavancin for as a one-time dose is like giving them a week of vancomycin, in the hospital setting, and that's a very favorable attribute if you want to keep the patient out of the hospital to begin with. The comment about the safety and efficacy of single-dose agents is they work very, very well. The FDA registrational trials have proven that they're non-inferior to very standard treatments that patients are getting in the hospital. Again, vancomycin slash linezolid comparator. In fact, these agents are now being deployed for off-label, more serious, longer treatment infections. What needs to be worked out there is what dose. So, for example, there's abstracts at this meeting talking about its use in osteomyelitis and so forth. There's studies on endocarditis, though giving it weekly. So the efficacy and tolerability of these drugs has been excellent. There haven't been any severe adverse reactions been reported. I know when these drugs first came out, there were concerns about allergies that would last for weeks and all that, though that really hasn't panned out. So I think efficacy has been and safety is very well borne out with not just the registrational data, but even the long-term use in some of these off-label infections, which is even a more rigorous test of safety. And then with regards to patient satisfaction, it is clear that patients are happier when you give them drugs that are more convenient. There's no question about it. I mean, there are studies showing it with dalbavancin, and we actually did one with daptomycin, comparing daptomycin versus vanco as OPAT, and we published a very small study showing in a very clear fashion that patients were happier getting drugs that are dosed less frequently with less side effects. I think that aspects of healthcare needs to perhaps be incorporated into of treatment evaluations, not just, you know, reduction in lesion sizes and absences of fever and things like that. Because again, as I mentioned earlier at the beginning, soft tissue infections, you know, it's more than just a patient coming to the hospital. There's a lot of disruption of productivity, all sorts of things that happen in younger patients who have to, you know, stop what they're doing and resort to treatments in the hospital, getting IV antibiotics. The considerations for keeping someone as an outpatient, I think, again, you have to make sure the patient is stable, their comorbidities are stable, they're not immunocompromised, which would raise the possibility either of the drug not working very effectively, or other organisms that could be polymicrobial, where the patient could have mixed flora that would require broader spectrum agents. Instances where follow-up might be necessary to make sure the patient is improving. I think that's always a challenge going from ER to a primary care follow-up, particularly in sort of the post-COVID world, the dynamic of appointments and getting people in to see physicians has gotten a little bit more challenging. So the follow-up is always I think, something that is important to make sure the patient is getting better. How single-dose agents for soft tissue fit into stewardship plans? I think that from a stewardship standpoint, single-dose agents tend to be narrow spectrum. They're gram-positive only, so there's not collateral resistance selection on, you know, Pseudomonas and gram negatives in general. So from a stewardship standpoint, you're focusing on gram positive infections and with a gram positive agent. So I think microbiologically speaking, they are quite good from a stewardship standpoint. Stewardship financially, I think you have to, again, look at it as an efficiency. Is it worth the investment? I think every drug that's come out since 2000 has shown pharmacoeconomic benefit over vancomycin in the inpatient setting. So even if you look at it from an economic standpoint, whether you look at linezolid, daptomycin, dalbavancin, ceftobiprole, ceftaroline, the efficiency of response, time, length of stays in the hospital is clearly more efficient with the newer agent. But because vancomycin is, you know, acquisition cost is so low, it continues to be deployed in the inpatient setting. Giving vancomycin in the inpatient setting is probably one of the most inefficient ways to treat soft tissue infections. It's a very slow-acting antibiotic. It requires multiple doses a day. Patients are minimally in the hospital for a couple of days, 2-3 days. So I think from a stewardship standpoint, it all depends on what your focus of stewardship is. If it's the narrowest spectrum possible, great. If it's keeping patients out of the hospital, it's great. If you're looking at a pharmaceutical budget cost, yeah, it's challenging, but you have to look at that as an investment to the benefits you're going to be getting. Again, like the analogy I spoke to earlier about the automobile versus walking. It's cheaper to, you know, walk rather than buy a car, insurance, gas, all that stuff. Most people choose to drive to work for 10 minutes than to walk to work for 3 hours. Vancomycin basically is like walking to work for 3 hours. Doesn't cost anything, but, and you will get the job done. And walking to work and driving to work is not inferior, you know, I get you there, but it's just, it's a less efficient way to manage these infections that I think we need to really take a closer look at and really try to streamline the, you know, the pathways. There haven't been too much, you know, new breakthrough stuff issue. There is one study by Stephanie Fritz and Lauren Miller, which I think I encourage, you know, people to look at. I can't remember the name of the title of the abstract, but it was looking at other metrics in it other than just, you know, lesion size. So did the patient get better? Did the patient have side effects? Patient have stomach ache, diarrhea, nausea, rash, and giving different scores to those events to gauge treatments for a soft tissue infection. Because again, soft tissue infections in general are a nuisance rather than a life-threatening condition. There are life-threatening soft tissue infections. We know the necrotizing fasciitis and so forth. But for the most part, 95%+ of soft tissue infections are inconveniences. And the more you can deal with the inconvenience in the sense of streamlining the care, less interruption in the patient's life, less interruption and burden on the healthcare system, and just minimizing, mitigating side effects and, you know, just making it a smooth experience for the patient, which I think this study speaks to, these other, these metrics that I was talking about, I think is something that, that it's an abstract people may want to take a look at because it's a very sort of outside the box way to think of, you know, outcomes in soft tissue infections more than, you know, broader than what we're using with, you know, looking at, you know, lesion resolutions and things like that.